John said, we have all touched his fullness. You know what his fullness is? We have all been beneficiaries of his blessing. And he says, you know, we have grace for grace. And it's interesting where it says grace for grace, that word for is the Greek word anti, which means instead of or against. And so what John is saying is he said that God outdoes himself in giving grace. That God gives us grace, and then he says, that's not enough. Let me give them some more. You know, they got grace already, but let me give them.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of John the Baptist, It's Not About Me. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of John the Baptist, It's Not About Me.
I'm sharing it with you. That's exegesis. It says that Jesus Christ exegeted the Father. That everything that we needed to know, Jesus extracted from the Father. He exegeted it from the Father. He came. He presented it to us. And that's why it said, Jesus said to Philip, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Somebody said, what is God like? What is God like? If you want to know what God is like, just look at Jesus. Study the Gospels if you want to know what God is like. And you see the heart of God. You see the mercy of God. You see the grace of God. You see the love of God. You see the work of God. If you want to know what God is like, read the Gospels and read about Jesus Christ. It tells you all about God. John. Said, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. He's the preeminent one. I had a lady one Sunday years ago, after I was preaching, I was standing in the back, and she walked by me, and she said, you know, I really like your preaching. She said, I just only got one problem. And I said, what's that? She said, you say too much about Jesus. Man, if you take Jesus out of it, let's just shut it down. Well, let's be a club, right? That has a nice summer camp for the community kids to come and just have a good time and leave, right? Jesus is the preeminent one. Jesus is the preeminent one here. Is he preeminent in your life? And John wanted to make it clear that Jesus was the preeminent one. As a matter of fact, I'm so serious about this thing about Jesus being the preeminent one that I actually wrote a song. He's the preeminent one. And the song goes like this. He's my first, my last, and my everything. He's the answer to all my dreams. He's my sun, my moon, my guiding star. He's some kind of wonderful. That's what he are. I know there's only one like you. There's no way that they could have made two. You're all I'm living for. Your love I'll keep forevermore. You're the first. You're the last. You're my everything. You are the preeminent one. You are the preeminent one. In you I found so many things, a love so new only you can bring. Can't you see it's you? You're the one that makes me feel this way. You're like a fresh morning dew on a brand new day. Man, somebody stole my song. How you know my song? How do you know my song? Jesus is the preeminent one. And that's what John said. It's not about me. It killed people. God, this is my ministry. No, it's not your ministry. This is God's ministry. You know, as we even talk about building this new building, if it's about Bethany Baptist Church, we might as well just stop. We might as well just stop. If Jesus is not going to be the preeminent one when we go into that building, we're just wasting our time. And as I look at my life, as you look at your life, you have to ask, is Jesus the preeminent one in your life? The second thing we see is the witness of John to the religious leaders, is that they came and they were asking him, you know, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we are looking for? And you know, as we look at John's response to this, just think, you know, I want to challenge, because this is something that I struggle with, you know, even as a pastor. That, you know, just for instance, when I'm standing in the back after service and people walk by and say, man, it was a good message. Good message. There's that temptation for that one second for me to begin to think, yeah, you did it, man. Yeah, you did it. But it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, and I have to remind myself. And while I'm receiving, you know, because, you know, people kill me, right? People say, hey, man, that was a good job. Oh, give God the glory. Give it all to God, right? Come on, man. You know, you could say that even outwardly and not even mean it in your heart. And so I think that if you get a compliment for something that you do in ministry, you ought to praise God, but inwardly, there ought to be something in you that goes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That when the choir sang this morning, if they blessed hearts, you know, it was not about, you know, who sang and how good the voice sounded when they sang. But man, praise God. You know, I like that song. If there be any praise, let it go to Calvary. Now, if you come to my Bible study, you'll realize that there's no such place as Calvary. All right. Y'all, look it up. There's no such place as Calvary. Oh, man. I shouldn't have said that. I should have let that go. But if you want my notes, I'll give you my notes. All right. So, if there be any praise, let it go to God. Let it go to God. If there's any ounce of glory in my life, that when I'm sitting before the Lord and having my devotion time, and as I think back over the previous day, that if there was anything that I did was praiseworthy. See, it doesn't make any difference, you know, what you do out here in public as far as how you deal with the praise, but it has all the difference in the world what you do in private, in your heart. And if I just sit there and I say, thank you, Lord, for using me. You know, we had a guy who came on the Anchoring in Jesus when we had that cruise that one year. He came on the cruise, and he was getting ready to commit suicide. And he listened to the program, and the Lord spoke to his heart. And when he gave that testimony, man, I sat there, I was almost weeping. I just, thank you, Lord. Thank you for using me. For using me, Lord, because you are. It's not about me. It's not about me. And I got to tell myself that, because I struggle, right? There's that pull that wants to draw you in. You know, I told y'all about the story about the elephant and the ant, and they were walking across the bridge. And when they were walking across the bridge shook. And when they got on the other side, the ant said, man, we sure didn't make that bridge shake. No, you don't have anything to do with it. It's all about Jesus. And that's what John is saying here. These Jewish leaders came out to meet him in the wilderness as he was baptizing. And in verse 19 and 20, it says, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Art thou? Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him who he was. Now look at this. He had to have some kind of clout in order to get the Levites and the priests to leave Jerusalem. And I don't know if you know, again, being in the Holy Land, I just got a different perspective on things. And so I have a perspective on where Jerusalem is and where the desert is, the wilderness. And, you know, it's a little distance. And so when they came and he was out there in the wilderness baptizing, he had a little following out there. John the Baptist had a following. He could have easily got the big head, right? And said, man, look at all these folks that I got. Now we're going to see next week that when Jesus came on the scene, what did John do to his disciples? He pointed them to Jesus. He pointed them to Jesus. And so John could have said, man, folk, look, coming to check me out. I must be a bad boy, you know? God set me on fire, and people are coming to watch me burn. He could have got the big head. And you know, sometimes, you know how it is when you get caught up in the thing, and you say, somebody said, well, you know, do you know so-and-so? And you don't know so-and-so from Adam's house cat. Oh, yeah, man, we used to hang out all the time when I was growing up, right? It's easy to get caught up, right? So John could have got caught up. Yeah, man, yeah. But notice, he keeps this perspective, and he says, no, I am not the Christ. And then they asked him, again, he got the opportunity, right, to have a big head. Look what he says in verse 21. They asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Now, he could have said that he was Elijah, because Elijah and John the Baptist had the same ministry. They both were out in the wilderness. They both had hairy garments, and they both preached the same message. And so they could, and then plus in Malachi, it said that Elijah would come again. And John could have said, yeah, you know, I didn't die in the Old Testament, you know, so I just came back to life. And he said, no, I'm not Elijah. Or are you that prophet? Well, who is the prophet that they're talking about? Well, back in Deuteronomy chapter, let me make sure I'm telling you the right thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses said this, the Lord thy God will raise up thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and you shall hearken to him. So the Jewish people, they were looking for this prophet that Moses talked about. God said that he was going to raise up a prophet, and they were looking for this prophet. And they asked him, are you that prophet? And John the Baptist said, no, I'm not that prophet. And then look what John said. He says, verses 22 and 23, then they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. They asked him who he was, and he said that he was a voice. He said he was a voice. I often think, and I'm going back, I'm going to date myself, so probably some of the young people, y'all might not remember this, but there was a late night comedian, and his name was Johnny Carson. You know, he actually came on, I think Jay Leno was there for a while now. You know, he got somebody else taking his place. And every night when Johnny Carson would come on, there was a guy, he would step out there, and his name was Ed McMahon. And every night, Ed McMahon would say, here's Johnny, right? Here's Johnny, right? So what did John the Baptist? John the Baptist was Ed McMahon. Because what did he do? John the Baptist wasn't the star of the show, right? Jesus was the star of the show. And John said, I'm just a voice. I'm just a, the Greek word there is phoné. You know, I'm not phony, but phoné, like telephone, all right? He said, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. You know, back in these days, they would have people that would come and they would remove all the obstacles for the king that was coming so that the king would have a smooth path as he traveled. And so John the Baptist says, I'm just coming to make this path smooth for Jesus Christ. Are you making the path smooth for Jesus? Are you making the way for people to be able to come to Christ? You know, when you think of Ed McMahon being the announcer, you know, announcing Johnny, that you announce Jesus. You announce Jesus with your lips. You announce Jesus with your life. Are you pointing people to Jesus Christ with your lips and with your life? That if somebody was to look at you, would they be, you know, and without you having to pick up a Bible and scream at folks about, you know, Jesus down on the cross for their sin, but could they just look at your life and see there was something different about your life, and they would be feel a welcome sense of being drawn to you? Or do you repulse people because of your faith, because of your Christianity? John the Baptist said, I'm just trying to make the way straight. I'm trying to make the way straight for Jesus to be able to come and enter into the lives of these people. And the fourth thing, he says in verses 24 through 27, and they that were sent of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ or Elijah, neither the prophet? Basically what they were saying, who are you to be out here baptizing then? If you're not Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, then why are you out here baptizing? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. John said that there's one that's coming after me. And I'm not even worthy. You know, the lowest of the low slave, that when you entered into somebody's house, the lowest of the low slave would come and take off a person's shoes. John the Baptist says, I'm not even worthy to do that to Jesus. What a sense of humility. What a sense of humble. What about you? You know, are you humble? Do you have that sense of humility in reference to the Savior? Do you bow at his feet? Do you worship him? Do you feel that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you are not worthy to loosen his sandals? And then my last point this morning is that John finally introduces Jesus. He introduces Jesus in verses 29 through 31. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. John introduces Jesus as the Lamb of God. They were looking for a military leader. They were looking for somebody to come and take control. And John says, the Lamb of God, the one who will be slain for the sins of the world. I like the phrase, it says, he takes away the sin of the world. That word there means that he lifts it up and he takes it away. He lifts it up and he takes it away. reminds us of the scapegoat in the Old Testament. Remember in the Old Testament, they had two goats, right? The one goat that they would offer as a sacrifice, and the other one the priest would lay his hands on and confess the sins of the people, and then they would release him into the wilderness. Jesus is that scapegoat. He took our sins. He lifted our sins up, and he took them away. And now we're free. We're free. We're unshackled from the burden of our sin. John introduces Jesus as the Lamb of God, and then he introduces him as the Son of God. The Son of God. Verses 32 through 34. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And John says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which is baptized with the Holy Ghost. And John said, and I saw for myself, and I bear record that this is the Son of God. He said, I bear record for myself that this is the Son of God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. As I close today, I ask you this question. Do you have a self-directed life, or do you have a Christ-directed life? Self-directed is self is on the throne. Christ-directed is Christ is on the throne. So as you think about the difference between a self-directed life and a Christ-directed life, John the Baptist had a Christ-directed life. He did everything he did points to Christ. Just ask yourself the question. Is your life filled with pride, or is there a certain sense of humbleness within you? You know, do you always have to put your chest out to get your way and to let people know who you are? Or is there a sense of humility in your life? Self-directed life walks in frustration. The Christ-directed life walks in victory. The self-directed life thinks better of others. They lift up others. They think they're better than others. The Christ-directed life esteems others better than self. The self-directed life wants to keep the hands on the steering wheel. You want to be in control. The Christ-directed life yields control to Christ. It says that you are the preeminent one in my life. The self-directed life wants to be served. The Christ-directed life looks for opportunities to serve. We heard Deacon Corbin stand up earlier and give some opportunities for service. The self-directed life blame shifts. The Christ-directed life accepts responsibility for the things in their life. The self-directed life is controlled by their emotional whims, but the self-directed life is able to, they might lose it for a minute, but then they're able to bring things back together. The self-directed life withholds forgiveness, but the Christ-directed life grants forgiveness. The self-directed life hungers for worldly things. The self-directed life hungers for righteousness. John the Baptist says, it's not about him. It's not about him.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Tell Me Something Good. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, John the Baptist, It's Not About Me, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request John the Baptist, It's Not About Me. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request John the Baptist, It's Not About Me. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.